Welcome to Aura Talks.
Okay, we're recording now. All right. Hi, everyone. First of all, I just would like to say thank you for everyone who's still tuning into Aura Talks. We are at season two, and a lot has happened since the last time we recorded an episode, right, B? It's been like the world has come to a still stand. So it's not only in Oracle, but the entire world that has been completely shaken, so to speak. So I think we have quite a bit to cover. But I just want to first introduce ourselves. My name is Dambi. I've been a part of the Aura project from day one, along with B. Chitish is a relatively newer member, so I think maybe you can give a little self-introduction, Chitish.
Yeah, so hi Dambi, hi B, and hello everyone. So I am a new member in the team, as to say, but I came to know about Aura when I joined a presentation by Dambi that was done in Bharat Nivas, and I was like, shaken with the idea that, like, you know, how we have created the society around the physical currencies that is actually generated by the governments and everything, and that all took, like, hit me all together. And then I thought, okay, this is something that I would like to contribute towards. And then I started meeting other people, like all the team members. I met B also to get more ideas, and so far it has been really like a joyful ride.
How about you, B? You want to give a short introduction about yourself, how you came to be involved in this project, and...
Well, yes, of course. You know, I came to be involved in this project because I saw the whole world economy crashing. And so we had to do something. And, you know, Auraville for 50 years, we've been trying to get our economy seen together, and we haven't done it. And so all the ideals of Auraville have economic component, of course, and it's connected to our lifestyle, it's connected to the spirituality, it's connected to it, all of it, all life is yoga and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So we had to do something, and Aura came along, and Aura was it. I mean, we started, tried a currency in 2011, to put it right out there in paper, our LETS system and everything didn't work. People had, you know, no interest because we had a simple online, virtual economy going that was convenient, but it was still the old basic kind of negative capitalistic debit story. And that story is over. The story is over. So now we're doing what we can. And so, you know, the funny thing is, I have to show you, you'll see this Aura note here. I think you can see that Aura note here.
This
Aura note.
This reminds of Aura.
Aura note. That's the original. And then we had the rebirth. Here's the Aura seal rebirth. And you know where this note came from? I got it at the Eco Service in the trash.
No, you're kidding.
Eco Service every morning. Somebody threw this away. Can you imagine? So then immediately I knew waste is wealth.
You're kidding. That's crazy. I just got this. Wow. This is a, well, let's
all
just
the symbolism is in our favor. And then of course COVID came along to help everybody reflect and realize that an Aura platform is an absolute necessity for the planet.
And, well, let's talk about that for a minute, B. So what is exactly the Aura platform? I believe, like, having even worked with different rosters of the team the past year or so, I feel like everyone had a distinct interpretation of why they were involved and what they saw as potential for the platform. So let me just start off by saying, for me, the Aura platform has the potential to be a social sharing network. So it's incorporating elements, let's say, of social media that allows users or like people within a community who don't have physical contact, who are not really engaged with each other in daily life, to connect virtually, right? Because that is definitely one of the biggest, pros of having social media. But then it's also combining that with more of the sharing network, which allows users not only to just interact and say, oh, hi, I'm Dambi, I'm new to the community, like, could you show me around? Go beyond that and say, okay, I have certain needs. I'm really new to the community. I don't have housing. I need certain tools. I need certain help or some guidance. And to really get that kind of direct help from other people in the community. And in this case, it would be all virtual, right? So for me, this is like kind of the potential of this platform for me without getting into too much nitty-gritty details.
Yeah, it's about community.
Yes. How about you, Kshitij? No. Like, what do you see as the potential of the Aura platform? Because you're being the developer on this project, so you are also getting into the technical nitty-gritty, but more of a, on a philosophical level, what do you think is really the game changer for of this platform for Auraville?
But yeah, so because the purpose, Auraville has an intention, which is human unity. So how are you going to get to human unity? Yeah. See, when we're all at disparate levels, you have rich and poor. You have all of these issues going on all the time. How do we address those? Well, it has to be in our face. It has to be on the table so we can see it and feel it and do it.
Yes.
And then there's the crunch, the security crunch of food, basic needs, basic survival needs. So in order to have those met, we have to have a system, and the old system is not working.
Yes.
So I will just add
we have to return to the land also.
What, sorry?
I was just saying we have to return to the land, to the earth. People all have to reconnect because we're all connected fine with our phones and with the computer, but there's the other side of it. And this particular platform, of course, is a virtual platform, but it will require that we meet each other. It will require that we share farm work, that we go out and get the edible weeds and do all these things that are happening right now. And all over Auraville, there's this ferment about, okay, what's post-COVID? You know, we can't go back to the old way. And they're talking about economy all over the place.
For sure.
Yeah, that's a very good insight also.
And there are many things that we can connect into.
Sorry?
Sorry to interrupt you.
No problem. I think there's a little bit of
a lag.
No
problem. Yeah, there's a time lag, a little bit of time lag with B's voice, I guess. So I was just saying, that's a very beautiful insight, like how the platform, the social aspect of the platform. But I would say, just going beyond the social aspect, there are a lot of Facebook groups that we already have on Facebook. You have groups like Auroville International, and there are some similar groups that don't require you to be an Aurovillian or part of the community as a volunteer or anything. You can just join those groups and still get those information and, be in touch with people. But what comes beyond being in touch, the aspect of sharing and caring, in the sense, we can also create a marketplace where people can actually physically meet. But apart from the physical meet, they can also transact. In the sense, they can show up their artwork. That was such a beautiful aspect of Aura, the art space, where people can just put their artwork, they put their music for people to stream, put their artwork for people to see. So that's also another beautiful aspect. And as a developer, I feel like that developing that kind of a social connection for people is also a beautiful thing. And at the same time, the idea of having people share what they get, unconditional sharing, that's the beautiful part of the, adding person to a, adding your Aura peer, increasing your Aura peer, that obviously will get you more connections in the community. When I come as a new person to the community and I see, I'm not able to find this person, I'm not able to find a yoga teacher, and somebody introduces me to this, you can just go on the Aura app and you can you can connect with the person, and I connect with this person and my auras are shared unconditionally. As soon as I join the platform, I start sharing my auras with the person and I get the personal connection as well. That's the beautiful part of it. There is a limited transaction, but at the same time, there is a human connection that I'm developing, which is not possible with those Facebook groups and all. So that's what I feel like. And developing, now getting a chance to develop the same thing, I feel way too grateful, that such a thing, such an idea came across to us in Auroville.
Wow, very well put, both of you. Thank you.
Connected back to the inspiration, of course, from Professor Cho. I mean, he's got a global vision. And so we plug into that global vision and we show how it can actually happen.
Exactly.
That's the important aspect. And so if we can get it going here, then it can go anywhere.
Exactly. I think just to recap what you both shared, I think I agree with you wholeheartedly that this platform, not only does it take the benefits of digitalization and like what a virtual platform offers that a physical, I guess, interaction wouldn't, but also it not only encourages like benefits from technology, but it also encourages human interaction. Because I think being in the tech world and working with a lot of developers, yes, you're providing a lot of convenience to users, but at the same time, you're also alienating them because it's like kind of immersing them deeper into a virtual reality without really encouraging them to also engage in the physical reality. So I feel like this platform really taps into both aspects, and that's why I see it as like being a game changer. But I guess the question that I want to ask you both right now is, of course, we did face some sort of resistance from the community when we first proposed the idea, many on many different levels. I think the first one was, okay, it's virtual. We don't really, people are not very tech savvy or like tech open, I think, in Oracle. And second of all, they also didn't understand why we needed valuation. Why can't we just do a straight up barter system where, okay, I give you one thing, we don't need to put numbers in, we don't need to have any monetary value to this. But a lot has changed over the course of the past year. I think we were able to refine the concept in such a way that it really resonated with people and they could see it from a different aspect. So they weren't seeing like it as money is bad, money feeds into greed, money we don't need money. But now we're trying to revolutionize money to this extent that, okay, it is a useful tool that will help us actually transact and interact with each other better. But the question I want to ask you both now, post-COVID or amidst COVID-19 outbreak, do you think that the community is on a collective level more ready to adopt something like this? Because the success...
Absolutely ready. They're really primed for it now. And all these people are talking about it. Everywhere you go, all these groups are saying, okay, now what are we going to do now about the economy? And already one of the entrepreneurs here who's in the management of the assets and funds, this Mark Coffey guy, he came to me and he says, we got to use the Aura. He said, and they want to do an experiment already with the visitor center, and that all the tourists that come here also will experience the meaning of the Aura, the meaning of a new economy. And they won't be able to come in unless they use their phone and they pre-book and they use the Aura. The currency that to buy their cappuccino is going to be Aura. So anyway, that's a proposal. So once we get the Aura connected to cappuccino and gelato, we've got it made.
That's the first step. What do you think, Shitish?
That's a good step. So I find the concept of, I take the concept in a little different way. So you see, regarding all this money being the feeder of the greed and everything, that's some sort of a mind feed that we started learning after 1960s, like with the hippie movements and everything. What my understanding of currency is, see, I cannot always have something to barter. It is a tool that allows me to easily transact. That means I can barter in a different fashion, in a different way. I can transact with the numbers and later I can actually be of a use. Like, you suppose I want to go for a cappuccino, but suppose the guy who is selling cappuccino, he wants to have a skateboard. How will I, as a person who just came to this place, will have a skateboard to barter with?
Yeah.
So it's like the equation doesn't work of the barter system always. So in some cases, it will be easier to barter, but in some cases, it's easier to transact with a currency value. And now, in terms of currency value, what is actual currency? That's the idea, right? Like, the idea is, we have certain numbers in our account. That's what happens. Like, all over the world, there are banks that run some certain physical numbers, and one current country that is dominating as a military power is controlling, oh no, you just only transact in my currency, and then I will give you only this much currency to transact with. But at the end, the transaction is the main key aspect. Like, what is happening is an exchange of values. And it's not just an exchange of physical value, like of something like monetary value, but it's a literal exchange of values. I'm sharing what I need. Like, I'm expressing to the world that I need a coffee. I need this coffee cup right now. And then somebody is offering this thing that, okay, I can make coffee. So in the same sense, to make it fair and light, I compensate that coffee with something that this person can utilize to get something else. He wants to get a skateboard. So with the same transaction that I made with him for the coffee, he can now get a like a coffee, like a skateboard.
Yeah.
And I'm just using the word he as like a general.
No problem. We're not too politically correct here.
Just in the sense, like somebody starts pointing me out, oh, why he's talking about that. to be fair to everyone.
So yeah, I mean, thank you for sharing what you both did. I mean, I think for me personally, I feel very grateful to have like entered the realm of UBI, digital currency, and this type of using technology for more social benefits or more on a collective level. Because like last year when I started researching UBI, it was still something that was like years ahead. It was something that was a conversation that a lot of academics were having. It didn't go beyond that. Maybe certain countries tried pilots, but it was never at the forefront of conversations or public policy. But due to COVID-19 and the economic turmoil that it has caused, I think finally UBI is being like considered as something very legitimate. Of course, the conventional UBI is not what we're tackling here. We have taken a spin-off of that and we've tried to add our own elements to it. But for me personally, I'm like, wow, timing couldn't have been better on our side. Really, I mean, of course it is a global tragedy. And I think a lot of people are suffering. A lot of people are uncertain and they're anxious of what's to come, what's happening now. But I think we have the power with this kind of work to alleviate some of that stress and to provide some reassurance. So I guess just now discussing the difference between phase two of the project and phase three. So phase two, we put a lot of effort in field activity, right? We worked a lot. We did a lot of like community presentations. We did also a series of workshops that really try to foster this idea of giving more to the community than taking. And then also we had the Aura Fest, which was a physical simulation of the platform in real life, which was really a huge success in my opinion. But then what happened after that, because I mean, Jonas and I came to Oroville around December and then we left early January. So post that, what was the team process? Because before the outbreak got escalated, what was happening during the months of January and February once the app had already launched to the community?
So I think that's the point where I joined the team also. So yeah. We did some task we took together as a team. So initial tasks were like getting feedback from people, like understanding what they're lacking in the application, in the platform. And we came to know about a lot of things that needed attention, like, you know, in the sense notifications were not working. People were not able to complete the transaction because they were finding it difficult to know when somebody has actually applied for, you know, like, has accepted my offering. Suppose I was putting like classes for digital marketing, but I didn't get a notification or anything saying that somebody has shown interest in that. Yeah. So people gave us that feedback quite a lot. And in the same time, we started using the international space as our meeting playground. And we were doing some team activities there. For example, like we did this UX design ideation where we sit together as a team and we created some personas and we decided to figure out, suppose I am a 19-year-old guy and just came to Oroville, what would I need? And then somebody decided to take, oh, I'm a lady who's a photographer. And
it's 5:30.
So we decided to look into that kind of things. And then we decided to do everything on paper, like design everything of the new aspects of the app that need improvement to send it to Science Walden team. And I think we send them too much material, so they just gave us the entire access to do it on our own. I think that worked out for us. Now we have more control over the platform.
Yeah, just to comment, elaborate on that. So basically how the project further progressed was that we wanted certain changes, not only with the notification, but also the layout and the UX design. And then I think we passed on that information to the Korean developing team. But obviously it was kind of not a burden per se, but they were like, wow, okay, you have all these great ideas. Maybe it's better for you to do it autonomously, right? Without this like asking all the time, like we have these requests for you, can you tend to it? And then that can, that leads to communication delays and all that. So right now we've set up our own server. So we've taken the content of the Aura platform, which was previously on the FSM server, on the Korean server, and we've migrated to our own like autonomous server. Correct, Shitej?
Yeah, so now our server runs from Mumbai.
Yay! We're in India! We're in India now. So this is exactly where we are right now, having this conversation. So in the upcoming months, where I think arguably we're going to be pretty not isolated, I don't know exactly how everything's going to progress in terms of physical mobility and how much we can actually meet face to face, and if I can even come to Oracle at all the next few months. But I think this is a perfect time for us to really dive deep into the app development process and bring in the features that contextualizes the platform to Oracle. You know, give it like the details, and then also really understand for a user in Oracle as a community, what does he or she want to see, right? So this is what we're doing right now. So part of the reason why we wanted to relaunch Aura Talks and do second season is because we wanted to engage with the users, potential users, current users, and anyone who is interested to also share our progress and our thought processes and all the development steps. And also hopefully get some feedback, because if you see these episodes, if you tune in, you could at any time comment or send us an email or a message and tell us, oh, this is something that I thought of that I would like to see on a platform like this. So this is like one of the main reasons why we've decided to continue with Aura Talks. So yeah, right. Exactly.
But one thing is, I know, I really know what people want. They want to be able to walk around Oracle their phone. And they want to be able to go in new Porto's or old Porto's or any shop and have that QR code, whatever you call that. I'm not so familiar how that technology works. And then they swipe it and they get whatever they want. That would feed into the Oroville economy. We would, we would be part of it. And they would be using that platform for everything as much as possibly can be used. And the financial service, you see, would be plugged into this. That's what people want. Then we have the skills, the skill exchange. We have the bartering part. We have the art part. We have all those other parts that are also in there. So how to sort out all those different needs and uses and how to make it so anybody can use it? Because I think we have to accept at this point that the smartphone is our instrument, and anybody who can't use a smartphone, cannot participate in the system. And if you have old or infirm people or whoever, their friend, their son, their daughter will be doing it for them.
Wow, this is actually very smile-inducing to hear such a rave review of a smartphone from like the older generation, right? Because, I mean, for a person who's 80 years old to say, wow, like a smartphone is our instrument, it's actually like a really nice change of tone, because obviously a lot of the elder generation, they see this kind of, oh, what is this? Like, how is this affecting our lives? They're kind of uncertain about how technology is going to affect us. But I think it really is a lot about consciousness. If we really understand the potentialities of technology and shape it and design it in such a way that it leads to social consciousness or collective transactions, I mean, it is definitely then an instrument, like you said, B, right?
Right, great.
But then one last question, just to... Okay, so did you want to say
something? Yeah, I just want to add something on the idea of the scan and all these technical parts of it. I would say, like, obviously not in Oroville, but around Oroville it exists. Like, but it's easier for somebody who has, like, it's the local system of Indian banking system that it exists. Like, I can directly, I don't need cash anymore. I haven't visited ATM or FS to withdraw money in this entire pandemic. I didn't need the money at all. I didn't need the cash. Single day, I didn't need the cash. I can go to any shop around Oroville and I can use my smartphone. It is connected to my bank account. It directly does the payment. But that's the idea. It's like this part is very easy and simple to solve, that we can, provide the UPI payment system, and then again it's connected to your bank accounts and everything. But it's not universal. Mm-hmm. You see, the difference that we are creating is a universal aspect of the Aura. Like, Aura is unconditionally shared with everyone. That's the beautiful part of it. That's what we want to see. So yeah, obviously technically we will see the incorporation of a smartphone. You will definitely, once the Aura Network app comes, you will have this feature of you can just go to Marks, go to old photos and just take your phone out, scan the code, share the Auras. That would be technically that would be working, but at the same time, it has to be Auras. The idea of unconditional sharing has to be a part of it. Like obviously for my daily necessities and needs, I'm using Aura, but at the same time, I'm using Aura as a parallel economy as well. Like, you know, the aspect of Aura peers, like I can add people to my Aura peer and my unconditional Aura. So yeah, if people don't know about it, like when you join the Aura platform, unconditionally 10 Auras are freely distributed every day. And every day, if you have somebody in your peer, it is unconditionally shared with them. There is a certain percentage of sharing that we're going to share soon with everyone. If you join the platform, it will be in the instructions. But that's the part of it. That's what the beautiful aspect of Aura that we should not forget while incorporating all the technical parts as well. That's all. That's what I wanted to add on.
Agreed, yeah. Agreed. And I think just also just to further elaborate on what Shitij was saying, not just beyond what sharing is conceived to be, I think sharing is often like this tangible interaction, like, oh, I give you this, I give you that. But sharing doesn't necessarily have to be only like based on items or activities. It could also be via art. And I think there is a tremendous talent pool of artists in Auraville, ranging from like painters to musicians to writers. And I think to create a platform, I'm actually quite startled that a platform, an art platform, hasn't been created in Auraville, given that it is a community that really thrives off of creativity. So I think to merge these two things would be really fantastic, because I haven't seen something like that at all yet. And also, I was saying this to Shitij the other day, long-term, of course, our long-term goal is to incorporate like the financial services, but also to incorporate like what AuraNet is doing right now. AuraNet is the main platform on which Auravillians, like they make announcements, they create discussion boards, they have pretty important community-related conversations on it. So anyways, to kind of create something, to incorporate those elements into the social sharing network, right? So that user can also, let's say, like in line with Twitter, where you can just write a status, oh, like this is what I think of the day. So I think it's, again, not only this transactional, oh, like, yeah, I give you this, I give you that, this kind of like, how do you say, like marketplace, but also a social place. So I think this is like going to be the challenge for us to see, okay, how do we create these features and converge them with complementarity? Because it's great to have these like theories, right? To be like, okay, we want this and that, but then to create synergy and complementarity so that it comes easy to the user. That's the real challenge. So I really
like what they're trying to do now. You know, everybody's using WhatsApp.
Yeah.
WhatsApp, they're forming the little groups. So you get this economy group forms, and then people start sharing recipes. So then it goes off into, they form a recipe group. Then they form another group, because as these, they chat and they send their stuff back and forth, they realize it gets too big or too, and then it keeps splintering. So now there are so many of these WhatsApp groups, you know, for every little activity. Anybody is just organizing an event, they'll create a WhatsApp group. And then all those people, you know, maybe they're only 6 or 8 people, but they're in very close contact constantly with that WhatsApp. But that seems to be what's the big thing driving now, right now. This is what I see happening. Everybody's doing that. So, of course, that is training them for us.
Yeah, we're going to have clusters on our platform as well. Like we will have clusters that of people. Who knows, it will be a recipe group also.
It could be anything, really.
Definitely, yeah.
The world is our oyster. Exactly.
Yeah. But at the same time, what happens with WhatsApp?
But I would have one question about, see, how could you explain how Instagram, see, I'm on Instagram, but it has some other features that some people much prefer. And they're using Instagram, and, you know, stuff is disappearing. You can't suck things off of it. There are certain limitations and things that can happen on Instagram. And that's also taken hold of a lot of people really strongly. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how that would merge with what we're doing or how that worked. Anyway, that's Shatish would know. You would know how to do that.
Yeah. So I'm just finishing off the WhatsApp part and I'll take the Instagram.
Okay. Then go to Instagram.
So in WhatsApp, like you see, we have these groups and everything, but how easily do we have access to it? That's the question. Somebody is a group admin. You can only be part of that group if you know that group admin, or somebody in the group refers you, and then whoever is the group admin decides you to add or not, then only you can be part of it. That's why we need this platform where unconditional sharing is an option. Obviously, we will have moderation. It's not like a platform without a moderation. There will be like a moderation for profanity and all those that auto moderation, how everywhere in the world it works. We will have those auto moderations to take care of, keep the platform clean in terms of profane language and everything. But at the same time, it will also allow us to have access to it. Like, if I want to be part of a recipe group, I have to first figure out whoever has been part of a recipe group and then ask that person to please share my WhatsApp number, my personal contact number with some random person to add me to that group. And then every random person is also in that group. So to take that balance out, if we have this platform, like if we have the Aura platform coming up, which we will be working on the features and everything, but that's the idea, that slowly in the app development, we're going to develop this platform in a way where we're going to have clusters of people. So in this cluster, people will be sharing their ideas and everything. And anyone who joins the platform can also find the cluster and join the cluster. So that means you don't have to wait for somebody to introduce you to a WhatsApp group. You just be on the platform and you will have the ultimate access to the community. And that builds up the community spirit also.
Yeah. You know?
If there is a group of people sharing papayas, and I just joined the platform and I see that there is a group, that activity happening, people are sharing papayas. How beautiful that is to even just consider being a possibility. That's why this is the differentiation from WhatsApp groups and how the Aura platform will work. And now Instagram, the question was like how we will moderate. So we will have certain moderation in our platform. We will not be just similar to Instagram. We are not a shopping platform. We are not a social media also. We are kind of a balance of both. We are a community platform. We are not a social networking site. We are not a social marketplace. We are a community space. So just like how a community would behave in you can say, like we have a big market in Pondicherry, how a community behaves in that market, you know, that's the market space. We have all the market activities going on, but at the same time, you see a dad walking with his daughter holding the hands, and they are greeted by the flower lady just for a conversation, you know. So that kind of balance is what we are aiming for, to have the funny conversations going on, have the clusters going on, but at the same time share the market space as well for people to share their offerings. And offerings are not limited to products. They are going beyond the products. They are going towards activity. For example, like we have one offering, I saw it once, that going to beach on Sunday.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
You know, so that's what we identified. Like we have activities, we have products, we have services. We will have the Aura space. It's not yet like done very nicely, but we will have the Aura space as well. So there are a lot of aspects of the development process that we're going to implement in the platform. And I think that that takes care of the Instagram worries also. So we are not Instagram, we are not WhatsApp, but at the same time, we are not out of them as well. You know, exactly. We are incorporating the unified community spirit is what we're going to put in the platform.
Exactly. We're like a hybrid of different things. And also just to comment on how our platform, the Aura platform, would differ from like a traditional social media site, is you see often, especially with the younger generations, they use Instagram, Facebook as a means to get self-validation or self-affirmation. So it's like you share a photo or a video to glorify and glamorize your life. And then you want those hearts and you want those comments to get that self-validation, right? And that's not the type of social media we're like leaning towards. Like she just mentioned several times, where when people are sharing things on this platform, it's not to say like, look at me, like what I'm doing is so great. It's more like we would like to encourage the sharing with the intention of like, wow, this was a source of inspiration to me. This is like, let's say if you share a recipe, you're like, wow, this is like, after weeks of working on it, I perfected it. I wanted to share it with the community. So it's not really about self-validation, like, look at me, what I'm doing is great, what I'm living is great, what I'm seeing is great, but more like, my life may be great, but I want to share it with you. And I want to help you, perhaps what this knowledge, this piece of information for me was helpful, maybe it's helpful to you. So I guess there is that distinction, you know, and I think that's something that we want to foster in this, on this platform, because I think we're really lacking that.
In the conversation, we really have to clarify those things in this conversation, because people will be either stuck in the self-glorification problem, or they might get stuck in sales.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are trying to sell something, or they'll get or promote something, or propaganda, or all of that.
So exactly.
If we can come, universal basic income has to be our base. In other words, that everybody is secure.
Yeah.
And then the next step is universal activities. Mm-hmm. All the activities that humans engage in can fit into the platform. So it's not a separate category type thing. This is a complete package. This is a complete human package for community, for human unity, and it's universal, it's global. And we're not excluding anyone, and it's not it's a step in consciousness. So if we can, I think that's the way we have to talk about it, so people get the idea that it's not one thing, because they want to put it in a box, you know. Oh, it's just like WhatsApp or anything. It's all of that. We're going beyond.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think this is the purpose of Aura Talks, to have these conversations so that people who are interested can tune in and understand the distinctions and the nuance of this platform. So we're running out of time now. So I'm just going to wrap up and say thank you for both your times. We're going to make this a regular session, and we're going to dive into many different topics. Just from the top of my head, just the impact of COVID-19 outbreak on community life in Oroville, the transition from physical currency to digital currency, and also how can we really create a social sharing network? What are actual like features that we need, et cetera, et cetera. So there are going to be so many different conversations, but we're going to be diving deep into them on Aura Talks. So everyone who's listening, thank you for listening, and we will definitely see you next week. I hope you'll join us again on one of the episodes where we'd like to actually...
Anytime. I'm always available. I'm very happy to be here. And thank you, Denby, for really pulling this together. It's fantastic.
And all the people
who are interested. I mean, there's a lot of support for this, and it's going to move. It's the only way we can really go. It's our solution.
I agree. All right. On that note, let's say goodbye for now. And we always say this on the Aura Talks, ciao for now is like our goodbye. So I guess on 1, 2, 3, we'll say ciao for now. 1, 2, 3, ciao for now.
Ciao for now.
Okay, I'll talk to you guys very soon.
Aura, the value we create together.